Let's come to the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I want to read verses 1 and 2 of that chapter. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the clarity of your word. We thank you, Lord, that in the context of your grace, the ministry of you, O blessed Holy Spirit, we can understand, we can grasp, we can see what your word has to say. May it be even this day that as we hear your word, that you would sanctify us, make us holy. May it be, O Lord, that you would be pleased to bring home your truth to the heart. We thank you and we praise you for all that you have done. In your name, amen. We've been considering these two verses. Last time we saw in verse 1 that the apostle is seeking to impress upon the brethren that everything is by the mercies of God, and their responsibility in that context. You, as the people of God, are to actively present your bodies a living sacrifice. You are alive in Him. You're to bring and present your bodies holy, all that is acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then we saw in verse 2, where the apostle says, on the negative side, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Now, he is speaking unto believers. When he talks about being conformed to the world, he is saying, don't be taken in to the patterns of thought, nor the lifestyles, nor the sins that are being practiced. You see, the world will constantly be seeking to cause each believer to be conformed to its ways. The world is relentless. Because, you see, we live in the world. And as we live in the world, we are constantly in contact with the philosophy of the world and the way the world thinks and the way that the world impresses its pattern upon us. But we must fight that conformity. We must not be conformed. But on the other side of the coin, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Now, of course, this term refers to a couple of things. It refers to that initial coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, that inward and genuine work of Christ where we are conformed to the image of Christ. Paul is looking for a transformation now at a deeper level and one that continues in the life of a true child of God. One that is infinitely more significant than the conformity to the world's pattern. This is transformation. This is to have the heart totally turned around, totally renewed. So when Paul describes this in the life of believers, he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, these words. He says in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and verse 9 of that chapter, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Transformation involves a turning from idols, a turning from sin, from the dominion of sin, to the living God, where you are underneath His authority, and you are underneath His lordship, as it were. There is that transformation. You come out of darkness into light. You come out of a blind state into a state where you can behold the glory of God. This transformation is one that takes place initially in the heart of a believer. So if you say that you're a Christian, you're going to be able to know that God has translated you out of darkness into light. Now, it's amazing that those professing to be in Christ so often cannot give a testimony to that. They can't even speak to the fact, "Once I was blind, but now I do see. Once I was in darkness, but now I'm in light." It's great pains to get anything out of them. They feel very threatened. They feel very embarrassed. Why? And says Paul, there is this transformation. There is this turning unto the living God. Now, when it comes to the life of a believer, why, Paul again speaks regarding this transformation, so that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24 of that chapter, this is what he says, "And that you put on the new man." Now, when there is this initial transformation, we are made new creatures. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. But there is that continual renewing, as it were, that continue work of being conformed to the image of Christ. And you're to put on, you're to continue to put on. It is a lifelong exercise that we are more and more to put on the new man. And we are to put off, verse 22, the old man, that which seeks to dominate us. That's what we're to do. That's our work as we present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable before God. But be ye transformed and continue to be transformed in that work. In Galatians, the first chapter, this is what we read of the Apostle Paul, where he says in verse 13 of Galatians 1, he says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." There he is in the context of the old man. "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries and in my nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father." He is still in the context of the old man. "But," he says, verse 15, "when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles." God's grace, there's the new man. When it pleased God. You see, salvation is up to God. We have in our day that many think that salvation is up to man. They say, well, God cannot do anything because He cannot go and bypass our free will. We are the ones who decide. He doesn't know until we decide. We have God upon hold, as it were. Paul says, no. No, listen to me. When it pleased God, He is the one who works, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, what? Through His grace to reveal His Son. It is God who reveals the Son. You see, when we believe that it's up to us, and in this context of being exercising your own will freely, what that does is that destroys the immutability of God. It destroys part of His attributes. What? His omniscience. He doesn't know. He can't determine. He comes up to a point, and then He stops. Once you decide, then He picks up His attribute on the other side of it. Cannot be. So the apostle is clear that when it pleased God, separated me, called me, revealed His Son in me. That's the transformation. That meant He came out of blindness, His religious blindness, into true faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when the Lord describes this transformation, He does so in very graphic terms, as we read in John chapter 3 and verse 3, when He talks to Nicodemus, He says to him, "Most surely I say to you," John 3 and verse 3, "unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, it isn't that you take the old man and you just kind of patch it up and you make it good. But this is totally new. This is totally opposite. There is a complete transformation out of darkness into light. And so it's just like being born again, starting over, as it were. And so He describes it as such. He says in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." The old man and the new man. You're born in the flesh. You are the flesh. And there's nothing you can do about that. You cannot get out of that. But if you're born again, you can. And that is by God's grace. You're born, what? By the Spirit. And of course, the Lord is speaking about a spiritual birth, where Nicodemus thought it more physical, as it were. And how does this all come about? Verse 8 of John 3, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. You cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit of God." The Spirit works in the heart. He works secretly in the heart, like the wind. Yeah, we can see the leaves blowing. Can't see the wind. Holy Spirit comes and you see the effects of the Holy Spirit in that in the heart you are born again by Him. He is the one who quickens. He's the one who transforms. He is the one who gives life. So when Paul comes to consider this whole realm of transformation, this is what he says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Of that chapter. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration." There it is. You are under the old man. Suddenly, you are under the new man. Regeneration. Renewing of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the work of Christ in Romans 6:2 is that you are alive. You were dead. But He's transformed you, made you different. No longer are you slave of sin. So that initially what happens. But Paul is speaking here in Romans 12 to believers, and he's saying, look, this transformation doesn't stop initially when you come. Yes, there's a more radical transformation at the time of salvation, but now that transformation must continue. It must be brought about. And how is it brought about in Romans 12 and verse 2? By the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Continued process which a believer is at work for the rest of his or her life. Renewing, every day renewing, and renewing the mind, which is that part of moral consciousness. The Christian are to adjust their way of thinking about everything in accordance with the newness of life, which is in the Spirit of God. So listen to Paul as he teaches the churches regarding this principle of renewal. Galatians 3 and verse 10 of that chapter. Colossians 3 and verse 10. And I put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This is packed with precious truths regarding this renewing that takes place as a result of being transformed into the image of Christ. Put on the new man who is renewed. Now we're going to consider later on, a little bit more significantly, this matter of knowledge as it pertains to renewing. But you are renewed, and you are renewed according what? To the image of him who created him. This is the process. This is what's happening. This activity doesn't stop. It isn't like you come to Christ and you're renewed because you understand Christ. It's an ongoing process, and renewing suggests that there is progress. Renewing suggests that you're not always at the same place. You know, those who profess to be in Christ, and yet as far as their obedience to Christ, as far as their knowledge of Christ, it never goes up. It's just a straight line. If it was in a hospital, in one of the machines, they would declare him dead because it's just one line. There is no beep at all as far as the heart is concerned, no. But in the Christian life, there is a renewing, and the renewing is into the image of Christ, the new man. Ephesians chapter 4. Here again, he talks about renewing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 of that passage, where he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So now renewal we consider here. Paul says it is in the context of the mind. The mind controls the activity and brings out what is truly in the heart. The mind gives the orders, and the mind is that which we are to purify, and we are to seek to renew in the spirit of your mind, that you are constantly putting on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and in holiness. Not an outward, but an inward renewal. That is what the apostle is saying in chapter 3 of Ephesians in verse 16. He puts it this way. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That is to be renewed constantly. Now, these are terms that complement one another. The inner man. that you would be strengthened, that you'd be built up. You don't stay the same. You don't just continue the same. There is progress in the Christian life. When he comes to the mind itself, Philippians in chapter 2, starting with verse 1, Paul says this, "Therefore, there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Then he says this, "Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind, this attitude, this perspective be in you, which is also in Christ." That is the mind that is concentrating upon those areas of grace, of being renewed, of being stirred up, of having a greater joy and a greater love for one another, conducting ourselves in the light of that love and that work of renewing, and the mind of which is involved, the pattern, motivation, and direction of our thinking will be changed if we are being renewed. Chapter 3 of Colossians. Here's what he says in Colossians 3:1. He says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Set your mind upon things above. And when you set your mind, that is an ongoing process. It isn't that you set your mind once and then that's it, but you are continually setting your mind. This is that which progresses. And as you do, you are being renewed because you are in the context of those spiritual realities that flow from Christ. Being renewed. Having as it were, this activity of being further and further a new man. Not always the same. 2 Corinthians 4. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 16 of that chapter, Paul says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is what? Being renewed day by day." So you look at your body, you look at the outward man, and you look in the mirror every day. There's more gray hair, there is more wrinkles, you're getting older, you know that you are perishing, and you know that the day soon will come when life upon this earth will end, even in a normal lifetime. But listen, he says, the inward man, however, is not like that. It's not perishing, it's not dying, but rather it is alive, and it's being renewed, and it's being renewed day by day. People say, "You know what? I came to know the Lord, and I'm a Christian. I coast along, and then we have a revival service." Always call these spiritual week in college. This is the time when we really rededicate our lives. So, at the invitation, at the end, the preacher says, "Have you been living the way that you should?" Well, if we're honest, we say, "Probably not." "Have you ever sinned today?" "Yeah." "Don't you want to renew your commitment, renew your life?" You're all emotional, all excited. People are coming, so you come down and you're renewing your life. So that renewal takes place only in certain long intervals of your life. But Paul says, no, this renewing takes place day after day, each day. So each day there is a renewing. Each day there's a further lifting up of the life, presenting ourselves before God and holiness. What type of progress do you see in your life? Is it being renewed? Can you say, I was renewed yesterday. I'm renewed today. I've been renewed every single day. I mean, I see more because, as we will see in our next study together, because I'm in the Word of God, I see more. The Lord is working in the heart. I'm having communion with Him. I'm listening unto Him through His Word. I'm seeking with all my heart to know, Lord, what is it that pleases You? I'm not concerned with everything around me. I don't spend the whole morning seeing what the latest politics are or what I can earn or what I can do and what how's my job going to go. I spend throughout the day with a mind frame that, Lord, I need to be stirred up and I need to be renewed. I need to be more and more conformed to Your image. I'm not happy if a day goes by and there isn't some measure of renewal. And Paul says, look, you look at me, I'm perishing. You look at me and you just say, he's an old man. But listen to me. In the inward man, I am being renewed. Not that I was removed, but renewed, but I am being removed continually, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us more exceeding eternal weight of glory. This is it. That glory, yea, to come. Well, we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's where my eyes are upon the eternal. And I am being renewed. The question for us is that for many, they can quickly answer when you say, have you been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been transformed by the Spirit of God? And you say, well, what do you mean? You mean, am I saved? Oh, yes. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm saved. I don't have any doubt about that. Then Paul comes along and says, now let me ask you this question. Are you being transformed? And are you being renewed in your mind, in your spirit? Are you being stirred up? You see, what is a very critical part of church life? If you are a member of a congregation, one of the important focuses in responsibility one to another is this. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. You are provoking each other, what? Unto love. Unto good works. Unto righteousness. You are provoking, you are stirring up. And in doing so, you will be renewed. So we are helping each other. This is the means by which God uses. And we're going to see that the other means is the Word of God. But renew. Not happy to say the same. So the pool of water, which reflects your own heart, Is there ever any stirring, or is it just glassy glaze? Transformed. This is what the Apostle Paul is concerned. This is what he is exhorting them. This is what it means to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, is this. Is that you're not conformed to the world, and you're fighting against all the systems of the world that would drag you down into areas of sin, but you are transformed, and you are continuing to be transformed, and you are continuing to be renewed, and renewed in your mind. That as your mind is refreshed and renewed and grows, your actions will flow out in a way of pleasing God and in holiness. The power of the mind, the conscience, the thought. And that is what he exhorts the people of God. Now when he comes to the end of verse 2 in Romans 12, he says that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, we're going to get into next time regarding how this renewal is brought about. Yes, it's brought about by the Spirit of God, but what is the means that he does use? And see the importance of that in the light of what he is speaking to the children of God. May it be that we would not be satisfied to carry on. There are people who are only renewed on a Sunday. That's it. You know what? I went to church today and the worship was blessed and we sang and in some context, you know, we had a great production up there and singing and it was awesome and it was wonderful and I just feel so renewed in my spirit. I feel like you can be renewed emotionally, but that's not the removal. Renewal, I mean, that Paul is speaking of here. The renewal is when we come more and more in conformity to the image of Christ, when we come to see the glory of Christ, when we come to see His demands and what His Lordship is saying to us, and we run in obedience and we desire more and more to please Him. We desire to have richer fellowship with Him. Does it ever strike us as we come before our God that at the end of the day or the next day we say, yeah, you know, I had my devotions and I prayed, but boy, everything was very cold. No, I don't want it to be cold. I desire that it be burning within my heart. Well, that has to be cultivated by the Spirit of God. It doesn't come automatic. And that is what we desire. And we fail many times and plead, Lord, stir up my heart. I want to be renewed in my devotion, commitment. When we're conformed to the world, what is it? We are departing from the commitment and devotion to our Lord. We are displeasing Him when we are in sin. We are grieving the Spirit. God is looking down as we sin. The displeasure Lord, I want to be renewed. I want to be stirred up. I want to be... And you know what? If we are day by day being renewed in the Spirit of God, did you know that sin will not have the same effect and clutch and grip upon our hearts? When is it that sin rises up within the heart? When we're careless, we're not watching, where we're just coasting along? So, you say, maybe to believers.
Boy, you know, I just really sinned yesterday. I mean, I let loose on people. I mean, I just really, and I know it's wrong, I know.
If you're being renewed, even that day, when that sin comes up, whether it's anger, or whether it's greed, strife, that sin will be caught up within that renewal, that by God's grace, there will be mortification, and there will be a putting to rest, godly walking before God. That's what Paul was striving for, is that the people of God would be holy. And because we are so frail, and because we are so forgetful, and because we are so slothful, what is it? But in every single epistle, he's pressing them. Look, put on the new man. Look, continue. Every single church that he deals with, he may say, you know, to the Thessalonians, I'm really happy. I thank the Lord. Wow, the Lord has given you so much grace. But even with them, continue. Don't let up now. Continue. There's always room for improvement. The only time that you need no improvement is when you're in glory. Then you're fine. Then you're past any improvement. Paul constantly pressed. Because the devil is a roaring lion. And he's not going to stop. Can you imagine how many times when we sin against our Lord and when we are slothful and when there is not that activity of renewal? Do you ever stop and think of how the devil is just rocking back and forth in laughter and joy? Isn't that wonderful? Look at them. Very close to falling. Very close. I can come in. But when a man is holy, a woman is holy, there is less of the conformity of the world and the fiery darts of the devil are dissipated. May it be that God would grant to us a desire to be renewed each day. That's what Paul says. And we'll consider next time how this renewal takes place. What are the helps that God gives to us by which we can progress in this area of renewal. And there are several areas that we will be considering. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you so much, O Blessed Spirit, that you are the one who sanctifies. You are the one who grants the desires and that we would seek to renew constantly our minds in our hearts, living according to righteousness and those things pleasing to you. May we grow. May we increase. May we not stay neutral. May it be that each day we are just a little bit more conformed to your image. We plead, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. We love you and we desire to do what you have said. Be perfect even as I am perfect. That's our goal. That's what we desire. That's what we long for. And so we plead that you would grant success, grant the spirit of diligence, that we would present our bodies, living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto you, our God. In your name, amen.